This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're getting a great kid. Works his butt off. Dynamic, we've all seen that in terms of how he moves. The person's outstanding. You won't be wrong there at all. In terms of hard decisions, absolutely. His jersey is up, you know, in our house. Sure. It's my son was Justin Fields for Halloween. So
I was Talkate.
Great costume.
Yeah.
Which is a whale.
So those conversations are tough. So I get from the fan base why that's a difficult mm-hmm. thing. But again, it's my job to really look at the short term and the long term and set our organization up for success.
Beautiful cut right there. Just showing the human side of Ryan Poles, right? Hey, man, my kid had his jersey in his room. Damn, you think I care about what you have to say about me trading Justin Fields? I had to go home and sit my kid down. That was the toughest conversation. Being in front of you guys, I don't care. Even telling Justin Fields was all right, because I knew I was doing right by him. My son, however. That's great right there. Ryan Poles talking about, you know, Justin Fields and the difficulty of moving on from him. That's Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. Got about an hour hanging out with you guys still, so we got the trifecta coming up at the end. We're gonna add some light and laughter to what's going on today, because it's been a heavy day. P. Diddy? I can't even go anywhere without P. Diddy being everywhere on my screen. You've been seeing this stuff, Alex? Alex Kuhn producing today.
I've seen a lot of heavy stuff. Dude. I guess I missed the P. Diddy stuff.
Oh! What? You missed the P. Diddy stuff that they raided his house in Florida?
Oh, no.
And in L.A. Both of them.
Uh-oh.
And then he had like a private jet that went somewhere. Bro, wild. Allegedly. You gotta. When you're on the radio, you always gotta throw that in front, or in the back, just in case somebody wants to be like, "Yo, you're talking crazy." Allegedly. I don't know what's going on. What's not alleged is the fact that the Bears have the number one pick, and they are in a very, very comfortable position. Another situation that's not necessarily going as smooth as they would like is the acquisition or the continuation of trying to, you know, figure out where the hell they're building this new stadium. And a lot of people have been trying to hear what Kevin Warren has had to say, and he spoke. We're going to get the opportunity to hear from him in just a second, but I do want to take a question. Let's go back out to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Ben out in Gurnee.
Hey, Gabe.
Ben, what's
Thank
up?
Thank you for having me on.
No problem. Talk
can you
to
hear
me
okay?
Yes, I can, man. Talk to me.
So I actually had two things, but the first, I think it hasn't been talked about enough, their ninth pick. I think going in, all of us Bears fans just kind of assumed if they used that first pick on anything, it was going to be a quarterback. So whether it would have been Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels or whoever, we kind of knew that they're going to go with a quarterback at that spot if they keep that pick. But at nine, it's hard to really tell what the Bears are going to do there. Are they going to go with pass rush? Are they going to stick with offense? Are they going to trade back and then go with a guy that none of us are really thinking of? So I'm just curious on what you thought there. And then as far as the Justin Fields trade, I'm curious if you think, because we saw this with Lamar Jackson last year where the quote-unquote league said what his value was, and Baltimore decided to stay with him, and, you know, that kind of ended well as it could have for Lamar Jackson. He was an MVP. But do you think that coming out of that season, a lot of the league would still say that they really don't like Lamar Jackson, which is why Justin Fields went so for such low compensation, or how do you make that up in terms of what his value actually is compared to the rest of the guys in his draft?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, when it comes to the Justin Fields thing, I think that, you know, with the compensation, that's what you're talking about, right, Ben?
Yeah. Like, you know, he went for a 6-round pick, so now does that mean that that's his true value, or did collude to keep his value down?
Yeah, I think ultimately when you're looking at Justin Fields and that compensation, I talked about it a couple of days ago, and that it really says more about Ryan Poles and his confidence level in doing his job, right? Where he feels as though whatever compensation he was going to get back really was, you know, insignificant in his grand scheme of things. He wasn't dependent on getting something in return for Justin Fields in order to make his team better. He knew he was going to get something, but he wasn't dependent on it, right? So I think, again, it speaks to the confidence of Ryan Poles and saying, hey, man, you know what? Whatever, bro. Give me that 6-round pick. I'm gonna send my guy to a good spot. And my team's better already anyway, right? Defensively, on the defensive side of the ball, on the offensive side of the ball, my team is better already. And if I get Caleb Williams, you know, hopefully the team is going to be even better. And that's what he's banking on, right? So I think, and again, that has nothing to do with the 6th-round pick or the 4th or 3rd, whatever they would have gotten. Because the same way that, you know, people want to argue, hey, how are you going to, there's no guaranteeing Caleb Williams is going to be, well, neat. And to my point about Ryan Poles' confidence with compensation, there's no guaranteeing that a 3rd-round pick would have been some stud that you would have gotten as in return, right? You never know. So if you're going to use that argument. So again, I think that's that component. When it comes to the 9th pick in the draft, I mean, it really obviously depends on how the draft pans out, how this thing goes. And when you're looking at 9, there's so many ways. I have some bets with some friends, you know, just friendly bets like for lunch or something about, you know, whether the 3 wide receivers are going to be available at 9. And of course, if they are not, the answer to what do they do at 9 is different. So I think the bigger question should be, you know, is it going to be a best available situation for the Bears, right? Instead of trying to pinpoint what position they're going to fill, that depends on what happens 1 through 8 or 2 through 8, because the Bears are responsible for 1. But you understand what I'm saying, where they have to find out what's going on there for. So the question is, will they take best available, or do they think there are enough people in the best of in the really good category that they then feel like they're going to trade down? So it's a trade down versus best available situation. Ultimately, here's Ryan Poles talking about what he potentially likes at the number 9 spot. Okay. He mentioned that he likes a lot of people there. It's all good. My bad. That was my fault. I thought we had it. My bad, Alex. And so at the number 9 pick, he said he liked a lot of people, Ben. And he said he liked a lot of guys there. So the possibility of him trading back, again, if 3 of those people are there, then yeah, he might trade back. That might be something that he'll do. So again, the number 9 pick still out there, still up in the air. I want them to trade down just because I want more draft capital, right? And if I do like a bunch of guys right there, then give me my draft pick and one of these guys, because one of them is going to land to me. So give me another 3rd-round pick in addition to that. I like that. Now, I do like the idea of the Bears having the best offensive player in the draft, right? Which one some would say Caleb Williams. And then the best defensive player in the draft. If they go 8 deep, offensive players 1 through 8, and the Bears have the opportunity to take the best defender off the board. So you have a draft where you've taken the best guy on offense and defense. I mean, that doesn't sound bad to me either. 312-644-6767. You could text in. Phone lines are still open, taking some calls. I'd love to hear, which would you prefer, best available or the trade down? Now, Kevin Warren, you know, he said he was going to be a part of all this. He said he's going to be around. He said he's going to be ready to go. And I want to play a couple of Kevin Warren cuts for you. Because, you know, outside of the draft and stuff, this stadium stuff is pretty interesting. Right? Because it's like a soap opera. Chicago has its very own soap opera that's going down. It's like he's dating two girls. I got my boo thing, Arlington Heights, and my main chick, Chicago. It's like, I'm leaving you. No, you're not. This is what I, it's weird, but it's intriguing. That's what y'all love about it. Now, there's one component to this thing that, I mean, anything on the lakefront, Friends of the Parks, and you hear about them. I love the statement that they came out with not too long ago, where it's like, hey, we're not villains. We just try to, you know, do everything right. I love that they actually acknowledged it, talked about it. But Kevin Warren, and I'm trying to envision a meeting between Kevin Warren and the Friends of the Parks, because it's like, ooh, two superpowers going at it. Kevin Warren, kind of new to the city, right? And I'm a Chicagoan, so I know how that is. If I see somebody that's not really from Chicago and they're over here trying to vouch for some Chicago stuff, I'm going to be like, dude, what? Who? What? Where is your... But he has power, so you have to respect it. And you're like, ooh, okay. So this is like a war going on right now, basically. Not a war, but a battle going on right now between these two entities. But Kevin Warren talked about the fact that he actually did, in fact, meet with the Friends of the Parks.
We had a meeting with Friends of the Park last week, and you know, they have a really smart group of leaders, and I understand, you know, their mindset, because I feel the same way. You know, I want the lakefront to remain beautiful also. But one of the things that during our meeting that we told them, as we, you know, build and finalize our plans, one of the things that you're going to see is that it's an increased proposed opportunity for additional open and green space, and because we're very, you know, sensitive to that, and because I love the water and I love the lake so much, the last thing we want to do is to do anything that takes away from it. And I've even taken a step back and say, if we were able to rewind time and we had this piece of property on the museum campus, just from an urban planning standpoint, you know, this is a unique time that we can actually help even beautify that area from a museum campus. So we met with him in person last week. I know we'll have other future meetings with him, but I appreciate and embrace their passion for the city of Chicago, for all of our parks, and I look forward to working with them.
Got to have them on your side. That's for sure. If you want to do anything, you have to have them on your side. They even went as far as, you know, proposing a space for the Bears. They said, hey, man, why don't you go, you know, over here? I think, and I feel bad for not knowing exactly where. I think it's like MLK and like 31st or something like that. Either way, you got to make cool with them. You got to be friends with the friends. That's for sure. And I love the fact that he's talking to them. I love the fact that he's taking, you know, a different approach. Hey, man, if we went back to owning this property for the very first time, how would we? I love that. I like Kevin Warren too, man, a lot. Kevin Warren also talked about the notion of the Bears being on Hard Knocks. They've been doing the Matrix with the Hard Knocks for quite some time now, and Kevin Warren talked about that too.
Do you have interest in Hard Knocks?
It's always interesting. I have interest in making sure that the NFL stays strong and vibrant. I would say that, and
so that's a yes.
you know, I'm saying sincerely, we have other things that we'll be announcing too. But when you think about even the Hall of Fame game, I mean, just think about, you know, when's the last time someone played in a Hall of Fame game and played in one of the international games in the same year? It's special. And I say that to our staff. We've been fortunate to make some great, you know, hires. And, you know, Karen Murphy, been there 25 years, to see her talented woman, you know, get promoted to be able to work hand in hand with me and all of us on the stadium, be chief operating officer. Mika Morse, who you all are going to love. She's JoJo White's daughter. I mean, just think of your father's a Hall of Famer, and first to become have her come from the Twins is really going to be great as our chief business and revenue officer. Then Corey Ruff getting promoted to chief of staff, and then Tanya Dreesen, who was with me. I'm always strongly believe you always have to have a handful of people who've worked with you in the past. Tanya worked with me for over a decade in Minnesota and from Toronto, just an international component. I'm really excited. We're going to really lean into being a global brand. So that's why I'm excited about our international game, because there's so many business opportunities. And what we're doing is working with all of the companies in Illinois who have relationships in the UK and companies in the UK who have employees in Illinois to start building a global, you know, business footprint. So I'm excited. Those are things that get me excited. Everything gets me excited. Football, stadium, the business, and even spending time with you all here today. And so just thank you for the time. I know it's early.
We all know how much it means when your boss shouts you out, right? You work hard. You know, you're just doing your job. And then he says something like that. Love that classy move by Kevin Warren right there. And I think he said something that was, you know, really hit for me. And that's why I wanted to play that cut. And it was that, you know, having the Hall of Fame game and going to an international game. I know we as fans are on the outside, but, you know, you can't win the Super Bowl every year, right? So there are other things that you can kind of be proud of as an organization. And no, when you're still on national television a lot, you're getting this kind of exposure, it does make you feel proud of the city. And that's what this team represents ultimately in the NFL, right? It's us, Chicago. And so, you know, the fact that they are doing that and Hard Knocks, I mean, I got to be honest, selfishly, I do want to be inside the Bears training camp a little bit more. I mean, I love Mark Grody and I know he gives me the inside scoops. My Oak Park brother, the OPB boys, you already know what it is. But Hard Knocks is like another beast, man. You're like in there. And I don't know. I could see those guys not wanting people to know what their process is.
Yeah. Like Caleb. Like in his rookie year.
I would even say like, yeah, because then think about Coach Eberflus. Then you're even more open to criticism from the masses about how you did this to Justin and now you're doing it to Caleb. Oh, no. Yeah, like that kind of stuff. Like, some would say that Flus might be like borderline corny. I think it's cool. I'm a big fan. But some, I've heard people that I argue with, right? You know, they say that. And then I'm like, and then if you get to see it a little too much, and you're like, oh, damn, wait, he is. And you're like, no.
But it could go the other way. Did you watch the QB series on Netflix? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like people went into it thinking Kirk Cousins was going to be like that and then left it thinking, you know what? I have a little bit of respect for Kirk Cousins.
Low probability that that happens with the majority of people that are on TV, just in general.
True.
Right? Like you do any reality show, anything, and 90% of the time, it's like you're going to hate that person because you find out a little bit more about him. And then Kirk Cousins comes along and you're like, all right. Yeah. He's like the super outlier that you don't even imagine, like you said.
Right. Maybe the expectations were so low that he just exceeded them.
Could have been that. All right. I want to play one more cut from Kevin Warren, but I'm playing on the other side. Kevin Warren wants Chicago to be like this one particular city. And I can't believe he wants us to mirror them. What is that city? I'll tell you that on the other side. Also going to be taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
What is the city Kevin Warren wants us to be like? Play that cut for you in just a second. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out. Got about a half an hour left. Shout out to everybody on hold right now. I'll get you in a second. 312-644-6767. Take some phone calls. Twitter time coming up before we wrap up. A little bit of pop culture, a little bit of sports. All right. This is insane when I think about the actual city itself, but I'll let Kevin Warren say it.
Have you shared that with Mayor Johnson?
I share that story with anyone, you know, who will listen to me, because those are concerns. And I can give you an example. You know, growing up in Arizona, you know, Las Vegas was a place that only certain adults went for only certain events. And it was a place that I grew up that I've never vacationed there. I only went there for business meetings that I had to go to. My wife Greta and I go to the Super Bowl this year, and I look at her after the Super Bowl. We're at dinner, And I said, this is a place that I actually would come back and visit. They've done an excellent job of bringing, you know, professional hockey, professional football, now baseball, and all those other events. And you know the way that Las Vegas performed, that won't be their last Super Bowl. And so when I sit there and say, that's what Chicago should be able to do.
Okay. Glad he wasn't talking about the gambling part. But Las Vegas is too much. I mean, it's bad enough. My mom hasn't been downtown in 7 years, and she lives in the city. You know what I mean? Like, if you're trying to compare what the Strip would be like, you know, in Chicago, to be, you know, downtown. But it's you know, Chicago and Halstead, when the casino goes up, that's going to be crazy over there. Like, you know, if the White Sox take over Roosevelt and Canal, and then all of a sudden you continue on the South Loop stretch and make something over there, that's, it's quite the vision to think of Chicago being something like that.
Or they could just get a Super Bowl and a Final Four.
Nah.
Like,
just pay the bills. Make their organization $1 billion more valuable than it is right now.
Does it feel like that's what he's saying, though? Because it's like, if Vegas is going to get a Super Bowl and all these sports and Final Fours and all these events,
yeah,
why can Chicago can more than support those events?
I think the argument is more making Chicago a destination for everyone to feel that way. Not necessarily for those, you know, marquee events, just making Chicago more attractive, I think is what he's ultimately saying, right? Where, you know, people might come to Chicago, and our tourism, obviously we made good dollars on tourism, but that's because of, like, the business aspect of it, right? You're coming to McCormick Place, you're going to out by Rosemont, you're spending dollars here. But I think, yeah, I just think you want, if you made it more of a, hey, everybody, let's, instead of just the summer or something like that, let's go to Chicago. Maybe on the, you know, you still want to come. I don't know.
I think, yeah, instead of come to the convention center for a business meeting, come and stay.
Come downtown. Stay a while. Yeah, hang out, make it more attractive. And he wants to contribute to that lakefront landscape with a new stadium that has a entertainment area, right? Like, if you think about the Rosemont entertainment area, where they got, like, you know, Joe's Live and Rosemont, and they got all those bars, and they got the ice skating ring, and there's a little baseball. That downtown, right? And then, like, that, making it that much more of a destination. Hotels, all that. You can come right here.
It's easy to see the vision.
I see it. I wish I could make some money off of it. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Derek out in Markham. Derek, welcome to the show.
Hey guys. Let me ask you guys this. You know, the Bears, you know, did some games last year where Cleveland, Colorado, Denver, and one game we were supposed to win in them games. You know, if we wouldn't win them games, will we be contesting who's going to be our quarterback? And then on the Bears situation, let's go to Arlington Heights. Let's not beat around this bush.
You're right. You don't want them to actually.
I want to see a stadium. I'm 70 years old, man. I want to see a stadium where the Bears, I go in there and watch a Bears win a game in a brand new stadium.
I like it. I want to have that opportunity too. Appreciate the call, Derek. Don't want to bring up old stuff. Bears losing the games, but I do feel honestly low key that even if the Bears won those games, they still would have moved on from Justin Fields. Still would have moved on from
him. Like if they went 9-8.
Yeah. Yes.
Moved on.
Yes.
The way that Ryan Poles is sounding right now.
If the Bears would have won those two games, does that then make Justin Fields like a second round pick? Or you then get second round compensation for Justin Fields? Or is it still a sixth rounder? Curious.
Maybe it's a fifth.
Yeah, maybe it's a fifth at that point. Let's go to Tracy on the south side. Tracy, you want to talk about this new rule, huh?
Yes, I do.
Talk to me real quick.
And I wanted to about the special teams rule. Do you agree with the change of, do you think it should stay the way it is?
Okay, thanks for the call, Tracy. Always love hearing from you, as always. Our scorehead, Tracy, hitting up the phone lines. Both of the new rules are kind of going to be kind of odd. The hip tackle rule, to me, I mean, listen, clearly there are people out there doing the studies that are saying, you know, what things are causing injuries at a higher rate than others. And then the NFL is acting and removing those from the game. You know, does it make the game softer? Yes, we can agree on that. right? Is it more geared towards offense and scoring points? Yes, we can agree on that. Would the teams and the owners, you know, when they draft these guys and give them money, any employee that you would have, you'd want them to be around, right? Nobody wants, like, you at your job, wherever you're driving from right now. I mean, if you got injured the same way like a football player does and you had to be out for 6 to 8 weeks, you had an Achilles tear, you're out for 9 months, your job's going to be pissed if they got to pay you. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you want to try to avoid those injuries, right, as much as possible. And so, yeah, I get it. It's not the football that we grew up with. Newsflash. Things are different.
For the kickoff rule, though, I know, if you want to get to, I have Mike Pereira on Parkins and Spiegel earlier talking about this very thing. Did you see it in the XFL at all?
Yeah, I saw it in the XFL.
Liked it at first. Eh,
yeah,
I don't know how you feel about it.
I actually, you know, I they're going to adjust, right? The reality is this. The good thing about the NFL is that you can call it as a barbaric sport if you want, but there are brilliant minds in the NFL. And if you try to limit a particular aspect of the game, the brilliant minds will find a way to manipulate it. So whatever the rule is, they're going to figure something out that where the NFL is going to have to be like, damn, we didn't think of that. Ah, they found a loophole in this thing. I remember when it was like, you can't have more than three people, whatever. And then they were like holding hands instead of like, oh, you can't hold hands no more. Like they're always going to find a way to try to gain some sort of advantage. Now, I think what we can agree on is that we're tired of seeing the football go into the end zone and just sitting around for another timeout when you want to see some football. You want to see some sort of action. A team scored a touchdown. You've had to sit through the numerous replays. You got to sit through the extra point, the timeout. You come back. You do the kickoff. Another timeout. That's a lot of no action right there. You know what I mean? So I think they're just trying to increase that and give us a little bit of excitement, you know, sprinkled in there. And I have no problem with that. I got no problem with that. Mix it up. I'm okay with the fresh coat of paint. I get it. Whether it's the Bears starting quarterback, whether it's a coach occasionally. Because the fact of the matter is, in the NFL, or as you've been following the Bears, that's just what happens, guys. That is what happens. In, out, things change. You can accept. If you can accept that, then your fandom can kind of be a bit more happier. We were talking about earlier where, you know, and then you're like, damn, Hall of Fame game against C.J. Stroud, Caleb Williams. Oh, my goodness. That is kind of exciting. Instead of being like, ah, another game, Bears, they should have kept Justin Fields. Like, that's such a bitter mindset, right? Or anything of the matter.
Well, the caller in the first hour, now that we're a couple hours or an hour removed from it, were you surprised to hear him take Justin Fields or take,
change his stance on
Justin Fields? I have some thoughts on this too. Cause I've been a little bit lukewarm on the whole Caleb Williams thing as well, but hearing Ryan Poles today changed my opinion as well.
Yeah. I think Alex, you like a lot of people, you know what I'm saying? Me too. What the hell? Anytime we have a thought and when it's found to not be the right decision, you're going to feel a certain type of way. It's going to be difficult to try to get over. So, of course, you're going to have some sort of reservation because that wasn't your initial thought, right? And then you have to somehow humbly eat a slice of pie and be like, all right, he's good. Because if you say he's good, then you're just disagreeing with what you've been arguing for the last however, you know? And that's tough. That's tough to do because you can replace Justin Fields, right? I'm talking about some real stuff right now. Like, you can replace Justin Fields with anything in life. I don't think they should have hired that guy above me. I don't think they should have, you know, I don't think my wife should have bought that item, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And you just, sometimes when it just happens because your wife bought it and now it's in the house, now you're like, I hate that damn thing. But ultimately it's there and then the girl's like, you know what I mean? It's just like, you have to do that kind of stuff. So, no, I understand. It's going to be, listen, I want to be very clear from the other side. People that are even sold on Caleb Williams still in their heart of hearts need to see something from Caleb Williams in order for them to fully commit to Caleb Williams.
As well they should.
Right. And they're in. They're like, hey, let's do it. All right. Ryan Poles, we trust. Let's go.
That's how I feel now.
Right.
Because it's the philosophy thing, Gabe. How much have we talked about how something with this franchise has got to change philosophically? And we're like, oh, is it going to be Kevin Warren? Is he going to be the buffer zone between the McCaskies and the football people? Well, you hear him talk. Not really. Like, I'm not knocking him, but he seems more on the business and let's keep the things going the way that they've been going type way as far as the heritage of the franchise. When you hear Ryan Poles say, I was brought in to break a cycle, like I did, like we did in Kansas City, it was 30 years that they did not have a quarterback that they drafted in Kansas City to win a game for them.
Yeah.
Before Patrick Mahomes got there. And that's what he's talking about. So he's saying philosophically, I came here to shake things up. And I, all right, let's go.
Yeah.
I respect that.
I think that, you know, in Kevin Warren, you're looking at a situation where he comes off more as a mentor to Ryan Poles. Someone who says, hey, here I am in this particular situation. I'm going to tell you what I think is best. And Kevin Warren understands, hey, you know more about this arena probably than I do in terms of making decisions on the personnel level, but I know business as a whole, and I can give you what my opinion is via my knowledge of life and being around the sport and tell you what I can tell you. And I think it's the same way where like if you have a business venture and your pops gave you some money, right? He's the one that put up the dough. He's not going to tell you how to run your business because you probably know more about that space, but he's going to be like, hey, son, I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know if that's maybe the best business thing to do. And I feel like that is the relationship that Kevin Warren has over, you know, where he wants to be present, wants to be around for whatever's happening for the Chicago Bears because he is still the president of the Chicago Bears. But ultimately, you know, he's like, all right, what you think, Ryan? Ryan's like, man, this is what I think. Ooh. And he's like, okay, because let's not forget, when Kevin Warren and Mr. McCaskey sat down with Ryan Poles in the middle of the season and said, hey, you keep shooting your shot. Go ahead. Don't trip. Nobody's worried about that. Nobody's worried about Chase Claypool. Keep doing it. Because we see that the Bears are headed in the right direction of breaking the mold that Alex Kuhn was just talking about a second ago for this team. All right. Pendejo. Twitter time. On the other side, a little bit of pop culture, a little bit of sports. What's going on in the world of both? You'll get it wrapped up in a nice little bow next. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670 The Score.
Well, what do you know? I got an admirer.
You spend so much time on Twitter, you're not enjoying the better things in life.
All those idiots on Twitter.
It's Twitter time with Gabe Ramirez.
I only want to know one thing. Can you cuss on Twitter?
I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
To be brutally honest, I'm not a Twitter guy.
Let's scroll through some tweets.
Chirp, chirp.
I gotta do this more often. This just makes me feel good right now.
Agreed.
Like, no doom and gloom right here. I can just have some fun on the radio for a little bit.
I already feel better.
Yeah, right? All right, I will. That's Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. About to get up out of here. But before I do Twitter time, this is where I marry my past life in pop radio. And I do a duet with my sports life, and I do a little bit of pop culture and that. So, first up, Michael Cerami said, Cubs skipped out on some major deals this winter. Yeah. Jordan Montgomery, 2 years, $50 million. That was one I looked at. Reminds me of the Danielle Hunter deal from the Texans. Matt Chapman, 3 years, $54 million. Blake Snell, 2 years, $62 million. J.D. Martinez, 1 year, $12 million. That's the bet that if you follow us on Instagram, at 670 The Score. David Hawes on there talking about the Cubs lineup and how it's missing that power bat. J.D. Martinez certainly could have been that. But, you know, Cubs still in a good position. I like the team. I like the energy in the clubhouse. I like that they're still having fun while Craig Counsell's there, you know, handling business. It'll be interesting to see how that thing kicks off. Don't forget, the home opener, Bernstein and Holmes, going to be at Sluggers, 10 a.m. to 12:45. That's Monday, April 1st. And then on Thursday, the White Sox home opener, they're going to be at Buffalo Wings and Rings, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., right before the White Sox kick off their home opener.
Chirp, chirp.
Next up, this is what I was talking about earlier. This is from Macedonian John R. Hobbs on Twitter. X, sorry. I guess I can't call it even Twitter time anymore, right? And I can't call it.
You can call it Twitter time.
Can't call it X time.
Don't do that. It's Twitter.
Macedonian said, Kanye told us years ago that Puff was doing stuff. I don't read the rest of this, but I'm telling you, man, it's wild. Did he? Wow. You got to Google that stuff yourself. All right.
Chirp, chirp.
This is from Miguel Esparza, my guy at Miguel's Voice. You know, he's calling the Blackhawks game. He said Seth Jones with the seventh goal of the season, his third power play goal. Blackhawks up 2-0 right now. Blackhawks, like the Bulls, it's like you want to believe because you have that Chicago belief that they're going to win every game. And then they lose, and you're like, they suck. But then, you know, when they have those exciting games, like the most, that most more often than not, you know, you get to have these kinds of games where they actually end up giving you a victory. So, yeah, shout out to the Blackhawks for that.
Chirp, chirp.
Speaking of my squads, this from MLB on Twitter. The White Sox have a 16-ounce campfire milkshake at games this season. It's topped with graham crackers, marshmallows, and a piece of chocolate. Now, the cup itself is beautiful. It has, like, a chocolate rim around it as well. Big-ass straw. It looks delicious. I gotta be honest with you. But Chicago White Sox will never let you down with food. They'll never
chirp, chirp.
Do that. They got a smash burger this year. It looks great. Disappointed I didn't make it out to the tasting. You know, they let the media go out there and taste it. Disappointed I didn't do it. Twitter time here on 670 The Score, Gabe Ramirez. This goes to M_Montemora. That's Megan Montemora, of course. Excuse me. And she tweeted out, that's a wrap on spring training in Arizona. Up next, Arlington, Texas, to kick off the Cubs season. Tough matchup for the first series of the year, huh?
Didn't the Sox open with the Houston Astros last year?
Right.
World Series champions, ring collection. And
they try to punish us here in Chicago.
Yeah.
For Caleb Williams. Next up, this one from New York City Cop, Kelly R. Cop on Twitter. Shakira had a performance in Times Square. But it was like kind of digital or kind of like shout out to my boy Henry. He used to dance with me back in the day in Untouchables and in The Entertainers. He was responsible for like the THX TV screen or something like that. Kind of cool. But Shakira, nonetheless, Times Square on a Tuesday. Like when you hear about Kevin Warren talking about wanting to make Chicago more like a Las Vegas, this is what he means. He's talking about spectacles.
We're going to get Shakira in Chicago on a Tuesday?
Not in March.
True.
I mean, I guess it's equally as cold in New York. All right, 40, 50 degrees. But I'm saying things, sign me up. Things like that needs to be your that needs to be your cue right there. But yeah, things like that, that'll be crazy if something like that did happen. But Shakira in New York, Times Square going down. Shout out to all my people out there.
Sure.
This from TB. That's T Boulevard, 23, but abbreviated. On Twitter says, the fact that I-94 is randomly trending, I thought something might have happened, but never mind. Lady Chicago Skyline. And then I was like, why is I-94 trending right now? And then the very next thing I found was a guy named Syed. He said, guys, tell me the reason I-94 is trending right now. So I don't know why. You don't know why, but it's definitely trending on Twitter as we speak. This from the Chicago Bears. It says, see you in Canton. And that is right, my friend. The Chicago Bears are going to be playing in the Hall of Fame game Thursday, August 1st, 2024. And why is that game significant? Why is that game significant for the Chicago Bears? Who's going to be heading to the Hall of Fame this year? Little Julius Peppers, right? Is that right? Little Devin Hester?
Yep. And Mongo.
I mean,
that's
what better way to celebrate that than having the Bears play that game. So that's going to be a great one to see, you know, that happen. August 1st, Devin Hester. What a proud moment. Why do I feel like a proud Chicagoan with Devin Hester getting his, because he's our guy?
Yeah.
So like, that's our guy.
I feel like the Chicago fans have really pushed his Hall of Fame candidacy over the top.
That's a great point. That's a great point because we have and we've championed for it and we've argued for it vehemently where we said, how dare you not put him in? You look foolish. Such a Chicago thing to do. Like, no debate needed, just, you're stupid. You didn't vote him in the first time? You're stupid. He's the best player at that position in the Hall of Fame. You don't put him in. That's just stupid. And so, yeah, I guess that's why I feel that sense of pride when it comes to Devin Hester. All right, give me my theme music. Ah, love it. I need to get some, like, what's that, like Kanye song, The Harder, Faster, Stronger? I'll get that for you. I'm going to put that in my sheet that I got over there. All right. I want to thank my guest today, Singular, Cody Westerlin for hanging out. Want to thank my producer, Alex Kuhn, for doing a fantastic job today.
Just a brutal day. I mean, that's...
We all have them, my friend. But you know, the good thing is, you get another at-bat.
Yep. Right back at it tomorrow.
Exactly. But me? No, right? No, you got a game tomorrow, right? There's a game tomorrow?
Actually, I think I have the day off, so I was totally... I don't even know.
Even better. What I love it.
Say
I love
53.
It. I gotta check and see what I'm working too again. I think it's tomorrow. We'll see. All right, mi gente. That means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time. Speaking of Twitter, we can do a follow for a follow, man. You follow me right now. I'll follow you while I'm walking to the car. Chicago_Gabe. Hit me up on Twitter, and I'll follow you back. All right. It's Gabe Ramirez. Happy Tuesday, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
I only want to know one thing. Can you cuss on Twitter?
I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
To be brutally honest, I'm not a Twitter guy.
Let's scroll through some tweets.
Chirp, chirp.
I gotta do this more often. This just makes me feel good right now.
Agreed.
Like, no doom and gloom right here. I can just... have some fun on the radio for a little bit.
I already feel better.
Yeah, right? All right, I will. That's Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score. About to get up out of here. But before I do Twitter time, this is where I marry my past life in pop radio. and I do a duet with my sports life, and I do a little bit of pop culture and that. So first up, Michael Cirami said, Cubs skipped out on some major deals this winter. Yeah. Jordan Montgomery, 2 years, $50 million. That was one I looked at. Reminds me of the Danielle Hunter deal from the Texans. Matt Chapman, 3 years, $54 million. Blake Snell, 2 years, $62 million. JD Martinez, 1 year, $12 million. That's the bet that if you follow us on Instagram, at 670 The Score. David Hall is on there talking about the Cubs lineup and how it's missing that power bat. JD Martinez certainly could have been that. But, you know, Cubs still in a good position. I like the team. I like the energy in the clubhouse. I like that they're still having fun. While Craig Counsell's there, you know, handling business. It'll be interesting to see how that thing kicks off. Don't forget, the home opener, Bernstein and Holmes, going to be at Sluggers, 10 a.m. to 12:45. That's Monday, April 1st. And then on Thursday, the White Sox home opener, they're going to be at Buffalo Wings and Rings, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., right before the White Sox kick off their home opener.
Chirp, chirp.
Next up, this is what I was talking about earlier. This is from Macedonian John R. Hobbs on Twitter. X, sorry. I guess I can't call it even Twitter time anymore, right? And I can't call it...
You can call it Twitter time.
Can't call it X time.
Don't do that. It's Twitter.
Macedonian said, Kanye told us years ago the Puff was doing stuff. I don't read the rest of this. But I'm telling you, man, it's wild. Did he? Wow, you got to Google that stuff yourself. All right.
Chirp, chirp.
This is from Miguel Esparza, my guy at Miguel's Voice. You know, he's calling the Blackhawks game. He said Seth Jones with the seventh goal of the season, his third power play goal. Blackhawks up 2-0 right now. Blackhawks like the Bulls. It's like you want to believe because you have that Chicago belief that they're going to win every game. And then they lose and you're like, they suck. But then, you know, when they have those exciting games like the most, that most more often than not, you know, you get to have these kinds of games where they actually end up giving you a victory. So, yeah, shout out to the Blackhawks for that.
Chirp, chirp.
Speaking of my squads, this from MLB on Twitter. The White Sox have a 16-ounce campfire milkshake at games this season. It's topped with graham crackers, marshmallows, and a piece of chocolate. Now, the cup itself is beautiful. It has like a chocolate rim around it as well. Big-ass straw. It looks delicious. I gotta be honest with you, but Chicago White Sox will never let you down with food. They'll never
chirp, chirp.
Do that. They got a smash burger this year. It looks great. Disappointed. I didn't make it out to the tasting. You know, they let the media go out there and taste it. Disappointed. I didn't do it. Twitter time here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez. This goes to M_Montemora. That's Megan Montemora, of course. Excuse me. And she tweeted out, that's a wrap on spring training in Arizona. Up next, Arlington, Texas, to kick off the Cubs season. Tough matchup for the first series of the year, huh?
Didn't the Sox open with the Houston Astros last year?
Right.
World Series champions, ring collection. And
they try to punish us here in Chicago
yeah.
for Caleb Williams. Next
chirp,
up,
chirp.
This one from New York City cop, Kelly R. Cop on Twitter. Shakira had a performance in Times Square, but it was like kind of digital or kind of like, shout out to my boy Henry. He used to dance with me back in the day in Untouchables and in The Entertainers. He was responsible for like the THX TV screen or something like that. Kind of cool. But Shakira, nonetheless, Times Square on a Tuesday. Like, when you hear about Kevin Warren talking about wanting to make Chicago more like a Las Vegas, this is what he means. He's talking about spectacles.
We're going to get Shakira in Chicago on a Tuesday?
Not in March.
True.
I mean, I guess it's equally as cold in New York. Right? 40, 50 degrees. But I'm saying things, sign me up. Things like that needs to be your that needs to be your cue right there. But yeah, things like that, that'd be crazy if something like that did happen. But Shakira, New York, Times Square going down. Shout out to all my people out there.
Sure.
This from TB, it's T Boulevard 23, but abbreviated on Twitter, says the fact that I-94 is randomly trending. I thought something might have happened, but never mind. Lady Chicago Skyline. And then I was like, why is I-94 trending right now? And then the very next thing I found was a guy named Syed. He said, guys, tell me the reason I-94 is trending right now. So I don't know why. You don't know why. But it's definitely trending on Twitter as we speak.
Sure.
This from the Chicago Bears. It says, see you in Canton. And that is right, my friend. The Chicago Bears going to be playing in the Hall of Fame game Thursday, August 1st, 2024. And why is that game significant? Why is that game significant for the Chicago Bears? Who's going to be heading to the Hall of Fame this year? Little Julius Peppers, right? Is that right? Little Devin Hester?
Yep. And Mongo.
I mean,
that's
what better way to celebrate that than having the Bears play that game? So that's going to be a great one to see, you know, that happen. August 1st. Devin Hester, what a proud moment. Why do I feel like a proud Chicagoan with Devin Hester getting his, because he's our guy?
Yeah.
So
like,
that's our guy.
I feel like the Chicago fans have really pushed his Hall of Fame candidacy over the top.
That's a great point because we have and we've championed for it and we've argued for vehemently where we said, how dare you not put him in? You look foolish. Such a Chicago thing to do. Like no debate needed, just you're stupid. You didn't vote him in the first time? You're stupid. He's the best player at that position in the Hall of Fame. You don't put him in. That's just stupid. And so, yeah, I guess that's why I feel that sense of pride when it comes to Devin Hester. All right, give me my theme music. Ah, love it. Need to get some, like, what's that like Kanye song, The Harder, Faster, Stronger? I'll get that for you. I'm going to put that in my sheet that I got over there. All right, want to thank my guest today, singular, Cody Westerlin, for hanging out. Want to thank my producer, Alex Kuhn, for doing a fantastic job today.
Just a brutal day. I mean, that's...
We all have them, my friend. But you know, the good thing is, you get another at-bat.
Yep. Right back at it tomorrow.
Exactly. But me? No, right? No, you got a game tomorrow, right? There's a game tomorrow?
Actually, I think I had the day off, so I was totally,
even
I don't even know.
Even better.
What
I love it.
Say
I love
53.
It. I got to check and see what I'm working too again. Maybe I think it's tomorrow. We'll see. All right, mi gente. That means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time. Speaking of Twitter, we can do a follow for a follow, man. You follow me right now. I'll follow you while I'm walking to the car. Chicago_Gabe. Hit me up on Twitter. And I'll follow you back. All right. It's Gabe Ramirez. Happy Tuesday. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.